Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 6 and read just a few verses there. Reads as follows: as children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. It says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And the fathers prefer not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And your masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We'll stop there with our reading of the scripture, but just go to slide 3, I believe, in the presentation. We'll just kind of get some of the key statements in this area that we're teaching in. This first statement, it says, divine love is one of the most powerful forces. It's one of the greatest forces in the world. And when divine love has been rejected and comes to its end, then sovereign grace will take its place. Amen. I think that's a powerful statement about what divine love can do for us. But when that comes to an end, then the grace of God, God's sovereign grace. And the good thing about sovereign grace, he does not have to ask permission from anybody. Amen. God does whatever he wants to. This next statement says, do you realize being a son or daughter of God that you are a minor creator? Being a son or daughter of God, you are a minor creator. And I don't think these things can be stressed enough to us. Recognizing our position as children of God. Our Father was a creator, and that attribute flows right down through us, the attribute of the Lord creator. Amen. We thank God for that. It certainly also is connected to motive and objective. We don't have the right motive and objective when it comes to creating. This next statement says, God's bringing forth a bunch of bones and putting skin on it, and the power of the Holy Ghost that'll bring the gospel in this last days with signs and wonders to the end of the world. They'll teach the Bible, they'll stand by it, they'll live by it, they'll not compromise right or left. This army that God is restoring, they will be an army that will believe in the supernatural God, the power of God. They'll teach the Bible, they'll stand by the Bible, live by the Bible, not compromise in any way at all. So that we thank God to be a part of that army. This next statement says, God is in his holy temple. Let everybody keep quiet. And we were going through that a few weeks ago, just kind of talking about how we conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord, not just the adults, but even the children. We have to remember that this is the place where God dwells, and we just don't hand ourselves in any kind of way. Amen. And I know that this school is our temporary location, but even as we get into our church, we have to know these things, and we have to practice them now. Rather than wait until later, we have to practice now how to conduct ourselves in the house of the Lord. Amen. Next statement says, that's the way God builds his church for his eaglets. High above the ambitions of this world, she's got a high ambition not to please men, amen, but to please God. My coming to church is not to please men. My coming to church is to please God. Amen. That's my whole purpose. I want to please God. My whole life is built around pleasing God. Everything I do, every decision that I make, I want to please God. I don't want to do anything that's going to go against His word or His will. Praise the Lord. They used to always say, when people ask you, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, they always say, if the Lord wills. Right? You always put it on. If that's God's will, I do it. But if it ain't God's will, I ain't going to touch it. Right? You know, we're in here. So here, this next statement says, now there is an angel, but this angel, Lord, that are encamped about those that fear, that fears him. See, now it isn't promised that sinners have angels. It's only the redeemed that has angels. And we'll get to that a little bit later, but he's pulling that statement right from Psalm 34, where it says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them from all their troubles. So only the redeemed have angels, guardian angels. Only redeemed, not everybody. Only the redeemed has angels. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's move on. I am going to slide 6, I believe. And we are focusing tonight on Ephesians 6:4. The scripture says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I find this for Paul to be writing directly to the fathers. He does not address the mothers in this. This is for the fathers. The role of the father is so important in the family. It can never be overemphasized on what the role of the father is. And as men, we certainly have to take our position, our place, our godly position, I should put it that way, in our place. There are certain things that a father brings into a relationship that mama can never bring. Mama never be able to do it.
Right.
And only the father can. But let me also just mention this: a godly father.
Amen.
Right? There's an ungodly father certainly introduces stuff that can just disrupt the family. But a godly father, it brings things to the family structure, and the wife will never be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. God didn't make it that way. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but it's time for men to really understand what their role is and their place, and just how impactful it is. You know, in the Old Testament, if a young lady had made a vow to a young man to get married, but she hadn't discussed that with her father and her mother, the father had the ability to go and disallow the vow. The mama can't do that. But the daddy could actually step up and say, no, we're not going to allow that to happen. And the daddy had that type of power in the house. Right? So typically what should happen, the father and the kids, they should be kind of discussing certain things so that things didn't get to that point. Right, but the father had to understand what his role was in the house, and it's not something to demean. You know, the mother had a role that the father. There's things that the mother can do that the father never be able to do, never ever ever be able to do. And sometimes the father got to be careful that he don't get in the middle of those things. I think I mentioned this before. The next love to God's love is a mother's love. That's the next thing to God's love. So. You all heard the story, Brother Branham, told about the little deer that was in trouble because the hunter was out there tricking the deer. He would blow a little whistle to make it sound like it was a baby deer calling for its mother. And he said all of a sudden the mother doe would just rise up out of nowhere. And even though she know her life is in trouble, she gonna stand right there and take that bullet because her baby needs her. Right, her baby needs her. And it's just something about a mother's love for the child that, again, a father just can never, ever be able to understand that. So you gotta be careful about that and don't come in the middle of that because that could create some problems. However, on the other side, it's good for the mother to know that you need daddy. You're going to need daddy in that relationship, so don't put them down so much in front of the kids that they can't respect their daddy.
Exactly right.
Amen. Got to find a balance with that.
That's right.
All right. Here, the scripture says to the fathers, it says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Also, we find in Colossians 3:21, Paul speaks this to the church in Colossians. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Mm-hmm. Don't provoke them to anger. You got to know how much to say and when to just stop. Amen.
Amen.
Now, here's the thing. Don't take daddy's voice from him, because he's the only one that can say certain things. I've mentioned this before, that, you know, when a dad knows he's been living right before his son, I think he has a right, if he need to jack that boy up and pull him and say, son, I ain't do that in front of you. Daddy can do that if he's been living right in front of that boy.
Amen.
Amen. If he's been living right. But a father got to know when to stop. Right? I mean, okay, I'm going to give so much. I thank God for my daddy. He kind of did that. He certainly was pushing me to go to school. And there was nothing wrong with him pushing me to go to school. I appreciate him doing that, because I was just very unmotivated at that time in my life. But I'm glad that he would just, the way he would nudge me, he'd come and he'd say something one day, and I'd give him whatever answer I give him. And dad didn't like the answer, but he didn't fuss and argue with me. And what he do is just wait a few more weeks go by. He come back and ask me, you registered with school yet? And I have to come up with another excuse. And every time I come with an excuse, I'm running out of excuses. So finally, I got to the point where I realized that what I need to do is go register for school, so by the time daddy gets to me the next time, I can tell him, yes, I registered. Amen. But my daddy, he just kind of nudged me. He just kind of started just pushing me in a certain direction. And, you know, and I appreciate it. He didn't do it in a way to provoke me, but he just did it in a way to just try to get me moving in a particular direction. And there's a way to do things. And he was the only one in my life at that time could actually say those things to me. He was the only one. As a daddy, he did exactly what he needed to do. Grateful for it.
Amen.
Here, this quote on this slide, it says, look, God may send many angels. All of us has guardian angels. Children of God, Jesus said, take heed that you despise not these little ones, for their angels always behold my face, my Father's face, which is in heaven. That's true. Be careful what you do against Christians. Said it would be better to be drowned in the sea with a rock around your neck than to be to bring it even an offense to one of them. Be careful. See. All right. Here in the message influence, I want to read a couple things here. It says, I'm going to watch now so we can have plenty of time for the prayer service. Now listen close as I try with these few scriptures. A few scriptures and notes that I have wrote down here to speak it. Sometimes when I'm not tired and worn out, I never write down a scripture note. I can remember it. But lately it's just been so, sometimes I can't think of it, so I just jot it down, a little something like a certain scripture. I know what that means, and I just go from there on. Now I want to speak on the subject of influence. Now, you know there's somebody that you are influencing. There's somebody that you're influencing. Amen. That's all of us. There's somebody that's watching you. Amen. Amen. Your life is a written epistle, read of all men. Therefore, if your life is a written epistle, read of all men, therefore, if he says, your life isn't according to your testimony, or your testimony according to your life, rather than you're putting a stumbling block in somebody's way. But somebody is watching you. Some little child is watching his mother, watching his dad. A little child is watching mom and watching dad. Amen. Look at this. He says, here's some years ago, I read a little article around Christmas that sure did warm my heart with grief. A fellow had been out, and he was a good man. He didn't drink really, but he'd been out around Christmas and visiting his colleagues. And they all said to him, said, John, have a little, just a little drink. And from house to house, he got too much. He had to go back home. And crossing the park, his little boy was with him. And he missed the little boy and turned around and looked, and the little boy was just going from one side to another. And the dad waited until the boy got to him. Then he said, "Why are you going all over the park, son? What makes you walk like that?" He said, "Daddy, I'm trying to walk in your footsteps." That's right. See, the man picked up the little boy and sat down, took the little fella in his arms and said, "God, you forgive me. I want to walk straight so my son behind me will walk straight." And I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. Daddy makes the decision, "I want to walk straight because my boy is coming behind me."
Yes.
And this is in everything in life. My boy is coming behind me. I want him to walk straight. Very, very important, right? It says, "I want to walk straight so my son behind me will walk straight." That's what we want to do as Christians. We want to walk like Christians, live like Christians, talk like Christians. Somebody is watching us. Somebody's being influenced by what we do. Amen. And we want to live such a life that people can follow us. Another just little situation here. I mentioned, I think last time I was teaching that. I just know my stepdad as my dad. I know I have a biological father, but I was raised by my stepfather. He just the one that instilled just about everything in me that I got. And I'm grateful, very, very appreciative of him doing that. I remember when my biological father passed, and it was a situation where the church that he was going to would not, they wouldn't even have anything to do with his funeral because of the life he had been living. And even though he repented to God, they still got him in his likeness, and we're not going to be able to do your funeral. So I said, "Well, that's okay. He has a son that's a preacher, and I'll be glad to do his funeral." You know, so we went to the funeral home and everything. And when I got to the funeral home, they had the program already now. All these young men were coming up, and they were talking about my biological father. Said, "Oh, he did this, and he did that, and he did this, and he did that, and he did this." And I sat there and I thought to myself, "Wow, he did all that with all these guys. They got all these great things to say, but I can't remember one thing that he did for me." Mm-hmm. You know, I said, "Ain't that something?" But yet I got to preach his funeral. And I guess the thing that I would say is that as a father, you don't want to be in a situation where you've made an impact and all these other people's lives, but made no impact in your own family. That's a shame. I mean, here, like I say, I'm standing here, and everybody's saying what a great, 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 great guy he was, and I'm like, I didn't get a chance to experience any of that. So I would hate for that to be the case when I pass, and everybody coming up saying all these great things about me, but my kids can't say nothing. Amen. Amen. Here, in the message of leadership, Brother Ram says, "Dear Jesus, one day in your pilgrimage here on earth, they brought to you such little fellows as I've been speaking to this afternoon. And the disciple said, 'The master's too tired to preach this morning. He preached this and that, and he's too tired. Don't trouble him.' But Jesus, you said, 'Suffer little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven.' Lord God, today receive these little boys and girls here in the school of righteousness. Here where our brother has come apart into the side of the wilderness here to bring out the families that desire to separate themselves from the things of the world to sojourn only for you. And now the little ones are here, watching the lives of their father and mother as we are examples in all that we do." You know, that's another big one. Now, just notice in this prayer, Brother Ram was saying how these parents have decided to kind of pull away from the things of the world and get started with a church. Realizing, you know, just maybe where they were and what they were getting from the other churches was probably just not enough, so they wanted to kind of start something here. And do you realize that in the teenage years, I would say, actually, even before that, I often give advice to young couples that are looking for a church where to start. Before you start your family, know what church you are a part of. Amen. Know what church you are a part of. You want to be in something that you know your family can grow in. Don't just be running after something because it's the next, or you might feel like it's the next thing, right? I know people have picked churches, ain't even heard the pastor preach one time. And yeah, this is my church home. You don't even know what he stands for. You have no idea what he stands for. Do some research, because when you start raising kids in a particular environment, in a church, it can either do good to them or it can do damage to them. And sometimes your kids are the ones that are most impacted. Parents can take things. They can endure certain things, right? They're a little more mature. They can endure it. But those kids are not able to do that,
right?
And if you put them in the wrong environment, now what happens, they get a certain age, they don't want nothing to do with the church.
Yeah. Right?
But if you keep them in a spot where, you know, first the parents got to respect the leadership.
Yeah.
And if the parents are respecting the leadership, then they can have the kids will see that in the parents, and then the kids will start respecting the leadership.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? It's very important that you know what you aligning yourself with.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Praise God. I don't see people get aligned to the wrong thing and ain't prayed by nothing. Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. They never asked the pastor to pray with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not it. Pastor, would you pray with me about this, right? And let's see what the Lord say about it. No, they've already made their mind up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do things like that. God give you a shepherd to help you, you know, through some of those things.
Amen.
But I've advised young couples, like, hey, be careful about what you're going to do at this season, because, you know, the kids going to start coming. And when the kids start coming, you just can't just up and, like, move.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
Amen.
It, you got to plan that thing out.
Yep.
Right? But you got a family that you got to be considerate
right.
of. So it's just, but when you get to that stage, you want to know that you're on solid ground.
Amen.
You want to know that you're somewhere solid.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Dear, you know, I know I said this about sometimes a husband will beat his wife by all of a sudden feeling led to move somewhere else, and he knows she's growing.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the children are growing. He can see the evidence in their life, spiritually. And then all of a sudden, he feels led to move somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look years later, and you see the what them happened to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Backslidden, ain't thinking about God, all from one bad decision from the dad.
That's it.
Because the mama got to subject herself to the leadership of that man. And if that man ain't sure-footed by what he's doing, and he ain't really heard from God,
amen.
Amen. He can create more habit for his family than he ever met.
Amen.
Brother Ram's saying it right here. Sometimes we got to look at these things a little deeper.
Amen.
But you got to know that you're tied to something.
Yes.
Man, what kind of, I mean, if this word is helping you, it's going to help them too.
Amen.
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 They might not be able to understand it all right now. Don't worry, just let them sit there.
Right.
Eventually, their IQ will catch up with what's being said.
Amen.
And it'll keep them.
Amen.
The word will keep them.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you got to ask, what's the purpose for going to church?
Yeah.
Right.
When you're choosing a church, like Brother Graham said, you got to pray with like you're choosing a wife.
Yeah.
Why did you select that woman to marry? What qualities did you see in her?
My Lord.
Well, she just... She's a woman. What? No, it's got to be more than that. You better know. You better know some. You better know about her. Amen. And you better court a good while.
Yes.
That boy and girl. You better court them a good while. Don't jump up and marry nobody just like that. You just met them 2 weeks ago, and now you're married.
That's right.
You're gonna live with that.
Right.
You're gonna live with that decision.
Right.
You're going to get to know them. Just coming from this youth retreat, and Brother Barry made a statement, and I just love it. He said, when you're courting, you should not be having intimate discussions in 1 week time.
Right.
2 weeks time, 1 month time, intimate things. Intimate things.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You try to stay out of this, but you don't have no conversation like that. You talk about the word.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about service. What you get out of service?
That's
what did the Lord speak to you?
Yeah,
you better know these things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody. What did the Lord say to you? And you want to know even if the word cut. You want to know, and you want to know how they responded to the word. Well, you know, Pastor got to talking about this, and that really cut me today. Now that got me. I'm gonna just be honest with you. You want to see how they're gonna respond?
I'm
gonna tell you. Well, you know, if it's cutting you, you ain't gotta go to his church no more. Wait a minute. You know, there's things that happen in our families, disagreements happen in our family. We don't just get up and leave just because, you know, a disagreement happened in the family. No, we family.
Right.
Right. We work through those things. Right. Why are you trying to encourage me to leave already? See, he got an ulterior motive.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Same thing with the sister. She got an ulterior motive. Get you out there isolated.
Right.
By yourself.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Amen.
Here, you know, this quote says,
thank you, Jesus.
Has come apart into the side of the wilderness here to bring up the families that desire to separate themselves from the things of the world, sojourn only for you. And that the little ones are here, watching the lives of their father and mother. And we are examples in all that we do. Oh, dear God, creator of heavens and earth, guide our feet, Lord. We will not do nothing before these little ones that would put a stumbling block in their way. For it is said it would be better that we have a millstone tied at our neck and be cast into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. It said their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven, the great angel and guardian angel over each of these little souls as they sit this afternoon with their little eyes wide open, looking and answering the questions and listening at the little baby stories of the Bible, of how these two young men took their choices, and each one of them dedicating their lives to you, O Jehovah God, lead them, protect them. And may they find this great leader, Jesus Christ, that will lead them, the father and mother, and the teachers are finished with them. May you lead them to eternal life, as you did to Moses. As their humble little child, our prayer went to you. I give them to you, Lord, as your servant, as trophies and gems of your crown. Use them, Lord, to honor you on earth. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So it's just kind of saying this prayer over these kids, but in a prayer talking about how important it is. They're following the mom, they're following dad, they're following that leadership, and how important it is, especially for fathers, because scriptures tell the fathers not to provoke our children. But it's telling us to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Put them in an environment where they can grow. Put them in an environment where they can grow. Here, as he was referring to the angel that each one has, he's referring to Matthew 18 and 10. The verse here in Matthew 18 and 10, it says this, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So he's referring to this. And as I mentioned earlier tonight, and we'll get to it a little bit later, even this scripture goes back and connects to Psalms 34, where it realizes not everybody that has an angel, but only the redeemed have an angel. Because the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him.
Amen.
And deliver them from their troubles. This is what David writes in the scripture. But understanding that those that are redeemed, they do have an angel. They have a guardian angel. Amen. I was telling you how when I was coming up, they had this little group going around town. They used to wear these shirts, and every little situation they hear about in town, they happen to show up. They call themselves the guardian angels. They're going to clean up everything. And they're going to stop crying. They're going to do all kinds of stuff. And it was just really, they couldn't do anything. You know, they didn't have no rights to be out there doing anything. So eventually it just fizzled it all out. But understanding that the redeemed have angels, our children have angels. And watching how we provoke not our children. Brother Branham gave a really good example of his son and his grandson. They had all this mail coming in from people all over the world that was wanting them to come and have meetings and things like that. And Brother Billy Paul and his dad, Brother Branham, they were sitting there opening all the letters, and Brother Billy Paul had a son that just kept coming in. Brother Branham's grandson just kept coming in and interrupting them while they were trying to open all the letters. And Brother Billy Paul told his son, said, look, you're going to have to stop coming here and interrupting us, because we got to get this work done, and you're going to have to just leave us alone, stop interrupting us. So, you know, the grandson took off, and next thing you know, he'd come right back in. And he started interrupting them again, disrupting them again for everybody trying to open letters. So Brother Billy Paul reached down and grabbed his son and just whacked him real good. And that boy took off crying. And he knew not to come back in that room no more. But Brother Billy Paul was corrected by daddy. And daddy, now remember, Brother Branham being a father, he can't provoke his son. Mm-hmm. All right? So he waited till, you know, the grandson left, and he says, you know, Billy, you know, I totally understand you having to correct your son, and I totally understand, you know, you doing that. I mean, you had told him many times not to come, and he did. He kept coming. He says, I know you have to correct your sin, but just the way you did it, he had done it out of anger, the way he did it. I mean, and parents know when you're spanking a child out of anger. You did up, you're tired, you're fed up. I'm going to let you have it right now. And you just do some things completely out of anger. But Brother Brandon told his son, Bill Paul, he says, you know, I know you were sped up, and you had to correct him. I understand that. He said, but the way you did it was wrong. He says, because when you hit him this time, you didn't just hit him. You actually hit his angel. Now, ain't that something? You can get so upset. You can get so mad. And you don't even realize it. You done hit the angel. So this is serious business. Right. And now, let me tell you this. We would never know that we had no angel. It took a prophet that was able to look into that room and tell us exactly what was going on. You were so mad when you hit that child, you hit his angel. My God. Now, that don't mean don't spank your children, because the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child, right? So now, what we've learned from this sometimes is it might be good to have a little conversation with them before you spank them. Now, I want you to know, and the kids, they hate this one. I'm gonna tell you why I'm spanking it. I have a responsibility from the Word of God that tells me spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not a kid already. Just hit me. Don't talk to me. But just, you gotta make sure they hear. The reason I'm doing it, I don't want to hit the angel that's following you. You got an angel following you, and I don't want to hit the angel. I just want to hit you. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Put your hand out or turn around, whatever it takes, you know. You done had that conversation? Now I'm gonna take care of business. I can guarantee you right now that kid gonna be like, I don't want to go through this, never again. Amen. A prophet helps us see these things. Sometimes we do things out of anger, and we don't know we're creating more problems. We want to bring correction, but don't do it in anger. Sometimes you know what you might need to do? See, and I've seen this, parents don't use it, I know my mom used to use it, especially something that happened in public, they're not gonna do nothing right there. They'll just say something like, I'ma get you.
Yes, sir, I'ma get you.
And the child already, oh, Lord. The whole evening is ruined because they know what's coming later. I'ma get you. Actually, what happens, they begin to adjust their behavior.
Yeah.
They try to do things better. They know what's coming. But now I'ma get you. And that's another thing. Now, if you tell them, I'ma get you. You got to do it. You came, well, you know, you did start acting better. No. You're going to make me a liar. And I'm not going to be a liar. I told you had done something that caused this. I'm glad that you straightened things out. Next time, act that way from the get-go, and we won't have to come to this point. If you tell them that you're going to get them, make sure you get them. If you tell them, I'm going to tell your daddy, make sure you tell them daddy. Amen. Let it be handled. Let it be handled. Don't be trying to protect them now. No, they did it. You do the crime. You do the time. Hello, somebody. I don't believe in spanking. Is that right? You don't believe in it. Well, the Bible said. The Bible said, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." Amen. Sometimes they need to feel your skin from your hand or a belt. They need to know. I tell you, I've seen it, and we felt it. When we came up, it kept us out of a lot of trouble.
Yes, amen.
It'll keep your kids out of trouble, too.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't saying do it in anger. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they was born in sin, they came into the world speaking lies. I know some of y'all believe y'all children won't lie. Let me be the first one to tell you, your child will lie to you. Your child will lie to you. Amen. And sometimes you get different dispositions. Now some kids, you know, you ask them what happened, they're not going to tell you what got happened, but just the look on their face tells you that they know exactly what happened. They were involved in it. So when you begin to dole out the punishments, they understand. All right. Amen. Amen. See, the church needs to be full on lessons like this.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. If people took care of their children, then others in the church would be trying to take care of them.
All right. That's right.
Don't be getting upset. Get upset with the deacon, get upset with everybody. Well, that's because you allowed the child to do all of that.
Right.
Amen. I used to tell my kids, I refuse to have the worst kids in the church.
Right.
I refuse. What have I got to do not to have the worst kids in the church? I will do that. You know what? They weren't the worst kids in the church. All right.
Amen.
I want to get started with a little quote here, and I don't know if I'll finish this, but we'll at least get started. Oh my. Yeah. Here in Questions and Answers, Objection Bill, Brother Brown is explaining Matthew 18:10, which we just read, and it said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven, this man, a guardian angel." It says, a brother reads Matthew 18:10, "That you despise not one of these little ones, for I've sent you that in heaven there angels will always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." All right, now brother, ever who you are, of course there's no names, just little tickets, you see, who said this. Now, you can take two ways of it, you see, but I think the interpretation, if you just ask me and explain this the way I interpret this, is this way. Now, you turn to 2 Corinthians, somebody, 5:1, it says, this, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, you know what it is. See, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already, you know, waiting. All right. As it goes on, it says, now, if you notice in Matthew 18:10, he was speaking about, talking about little children. There was little children, little tots, 3 or 4 years old. He picked them up. They brought unto him children. Child. Children comes from the name of child. A child is just a little fellow, not an infant, but just between that and a teenager. Yeah, and I want to just drop something else off here before I go too far. A child needs to be trained on how to conduct themselves in church.
That's right.
A little tot, a little baby, may scream or cry or something like that, and it's perfectly fine. Everybody don't get all alarmed. Somebody get that baby. Somebody get that. Look, children, kids gonna be kids.
Right.
Now, when they get to be children, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Right? That's where they need to be. No, you're gonna act like that at church. No, that's unacceptable. And as a parent, you gotta know when that line is being crossed. No, you ain't gonna be dropping down on the ground and trying to get you away. No, I tell you what, I'm gonna get you. That's all you have to say. I'm gonna get you. You take them home, take care of it. Remember, you dropped off down. I'm gonna give you something to drop for. That's the way you have to handle things. I did it. My kids are okay. It turned out okay. Right? But you have to bear with babies.
Yes.
Don't be getting all offended at babies.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I just wish somebody. It's a baby, y'all.
Right.
It's a baby. It's okay. That's the way babies act. They right. don't know no better. But when they get to be like a child now, that's where we, you can talk to them, they can talk back to you kind of thing. Now we're in a different state. And this is where you got to make sure that you get them under control. Now, when they get to that age, one thing I learned in a homeschool convention that I share with parents, if you have children that are having a hard time sitting in church. Just sitting. And that's why a few weeks ago I mentioned, you don't need to drink water that much. And actually, your parents, y'all know, if they drink a lot of water, what they're gonna do to their bladder? It's gonna make them have to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
So they're not that thirsty. Not. I know some of the older saints are taking medication that make them thirsty. Right, that's what's going on with a lot of the older people. The young people ain't got any kind of problems. Not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you can't be giving them water, sending them to the bathroom all through the service.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You have to say no. That's no. You have to just wait to after church. Amen.
Amen.
Right. But what I found at this homeschool convention is that they said if you have a child that has a difficulty actually. Sitting still in church, what you need to do at home is, and when it's family, when it's time for dinner, always call the family around the table. Amen. When it's family dinner, always call the family around the table and have them sit and eat their meal at the table.
Right.
Not in some other room.
Right.
Make them come to a specific spot, sit down, eat.
Right.
And then you can also put another room there, don't leave until everybody finishes. Oh my.
Right.
Then you can put another rule, don't bring your cell phone. Ooh. Don't bring your cell phone to the family table. We're all gonna eat together here. Now what you're doing, you're actually training them and not realizing that as they're sitting there at the family table to eat, then they come to the spiritual family table.
Amen.
And they sit down and eat.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now I learned that at a homeschool convention. Right? And I thought it was very, 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 very good. And I've advised families, if you have a problem with your kid not able to kind of sit down and enjoy the service, just teach them that. Go home and just have them sit down at the table. When you cook your family dinner, have them sit down right there with you. Watch, it'll change their behavior. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Here, the prophet tells us something here. They brought them children, child. Children comes from the name of child. A child is just a little fellow, not an infant, but just between that and a teenager. See, it's not responsible yet for itself. And it said, take heed that you don't despise. Now, watch this. It says, take heed that you don't despise. Now he's referring here to Matthew 18 and 10. Take heed that you don't despise not one of these little ones. Now, this is very important. Oh, my. It says, if you really take the interpretation of the word, of that word is mistreat. So when you say, take heed that you do not despise, what he's saying is, don't mistreat. See, to mistreat one of those, mistreat a child, you should never do that. They're children. They don't know. See, and I noticed that because their angels always behold my Father's face, which is in heaven. Now, it goes on and says, you see, in other words, they're angels, they're messengers, their bodies, angelic bodies that they'll go to if they die are always before my Father's face in heaven. Now, I wanted to just, you know, mention this. And I've said this many times before. As parents, you cannot have a child that you treat as a favorite. You cannot do that with any of your children. One is mistreated, and then the other one is given this. You would never do that. If you look in the Bible, Joseph's daddy gave him a coat of many colors. That coat caused a lot of problems in their family. The other brothers felt completely mistreated. Why would you, you're showing that it's some kind of way you love him more than you love us. Why would you do that? As a parent, never, ever do that.
Amen.
I know we just finished Christmas. I pray that parents did not go out and do something real great for one child and then something real small for another child. One child, I don't even know what the latest and greatest stuff out there is, but you give this one child all the latest and greatest gadgets, but here, I want you to have a Bible. don't ever do that. And there's nothing you can say to make that child feel like they have been treated equally. You make sure that those, one of the things that we did for our kids is to say, write a list for Christmas. Write a list of things that you want. And they write their list, and what they learn is that you're only going to get 3 things off that list. You can have a list of 12 things, 15 things, 25. You get 3. That's it. We're limited. And we want to make sure that they got the ones that say, this is what I really want, you got what you really want. Remember my dad, one time we were coming up, and I wanted myself a bass guitar. My brother wanted drums. And we asked him for things like that. You can't hide that underneath a tree. No drum set. Ain't gonna be underneath a tree. But somehow daddy, while we were sleeping that night, somehow daddy got them drums out of the car and brought them into the garage and set them drums up and put the bass guitar over there with an amp. And we got up, looked under the tree trying to find everything, and wasn't nothing there. We was all disappointed. Daddy woke up, took us to the garage, and we said, oh, wow, Dad came in. And we had ourselves a little band. We let the garage door open, lifted it up, and man, we just in there playing. We didn't know what we was playing. We were playing whatever we could play. We felt loved. Each one of us felt loved. Because we got what we want. And Daddy made sure that things were just done equally. See, this is why I'm saying, I'm talking about, to me, he was my stepdad. But he made me feel like I was born of his seed. He made me feel that way. And I know we have a lot of this going on in the church world today. That's why I gotta share things like this. Don't mistreat him. Not a child. Don't ever mistreat a child. When you do that, you break the word of God. Good place for me to stop. I'll pick it up right there again on next week. Same word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for your word. Grateful for these truths that your prophet has taught us. And if we could simply apply these things to our lives, We see our homes revolutionized, our families revolutionized. Don't let this word, Lord, just go in one ear and out the other. But let us apply what we hear. We want you, Father, to be glorified and magnified in all that we do. We want you to be glorified and magnified in our families. You've called us as men to a certain responsibility, God. We want to step into that. We don't want to miss it. Realize there's someone following us, following our steps. They're following our actions. They're following our reactions. They're following everything that you do, God. Help us to lead appropriately. Let your word, God, just take root in our lives. God, is our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pray for the Lord. Let me give you tonight's announcements. Over the Sunday morning, we'll be having our prayer time from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then our service will be at 10:30 a.m. Certainly, thank the Lord for service on Sunday as well as on last Wednesday. Thank God for the mark and stepping in and ministering the word of God to our hearts. We really appreciate that. And I just did a wonderful job. And I got a chance to see you here, Brother Diggs. Amen. Again, y'all have a church. It's a real wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. One of the saints that got in touch with me from, they're from Arizona, and they texted me and said they were coming to church. I said, oh, I won't be there to see him, but I didn't tell them what was going to happen, so I let them show up and just get, just be a part of, you know, just that. But I'm glad to see that they were able to make it, and just all the different saints that are here, just like a real blessing just to kind of watch it on video. I'm absolutely blessed. Amen. Our streaming continues from Twitter, Facebook, and our church website, 1434. And Friday we have our home tape service. It's the sermon Turning Northward. We'll be listening to that on Friday at home, so we encourage everybody to do that. Thank you so much. The business meeting that we'll be having, that is the last Friday of this month, and that's going to be January 26th. So that's a Friday night where we come and we have our annual business meeting. And I want to just encourage everyone to please make that part of your schedule, the annual business meeting on Friday, January 26th. I would like to get started a little earlier that night if we can. I'd like to start at 7 p.m. If we can, that way we have enough time to get all of our information covered. So Friday night, January 26th, 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Amen on that night. All right. And that's not anything that we'll be streaming, so we just ask everyone to be available. All right, let me go to our giving. I'll kind of go off my memory. So, we'll, giving is through three channels here. We have PayPal, we have Cash App, and we have Zelle. For PayPal and Zelle, we use the same email address of giving at john423.org. And then for Cash App is $SpiritualT is our handle there, and then Cash App. Those that would like to mail in an offering, you can use the address that's down the screen, at the bottom of the screen. So praise the Lord. Sister Cobb and Sister Tina, let's make it back from South Carolina. God bless you to have them back in the end, and they made it back safely. It's so good to have Sister Tanya with us. This is Brother Quentin's sister. Oh, I need to text Anybody want to share a testimony or a prayer request before we really close out tonight? My son-in-law, we had a testimony service at Brother Paul's for New Year's Eve, and they all sent their greetings to you. Mother LaFontaine sent the greeting to you, Mom. Amen. But my son-in-law actually says, if God hasn't done anything for you, raise your hand. That's what we got. But ain't nobody got nothing to say about what God done for them. Anybody got a testimony? His wife passed away Tuesday. That was the day after Christmas as well. And he mentioned to me that she was talking to him. And she just mentioned to us, Felix, please just let me go. I'm ready. So please just let me go. And he said, you're free to go. And she went home and took her journey. And last time I talked to her, I said, how could if you were to leave this earth and you would wait on the other side of the presence of the Lord? She said, I'm confident about that. I must say, well, praise the Lord. We rejoice with her that she received her graduation.
Amen.
And we just want to continue to keep him in prayer. He service sent his thanksgiving to the church for you all praying for him and them, you know, through this time. I believe they're going to have a service on the 13th, the weekend of the 13th, he's supposed to get the information to me, and I'll certainly let you all know when the service is going to be. So let's keep Brother Felix Jacob, amen, in prayer. I know we got big decisions that we have to make, but keep him in prayer during this time. I have to say that this has been some season that we haven't endured. And I know there's a scripture tells us that all things work together for good because we love God and we're called according to his purpose. So, amen. Some kind of way God's going to get glory through this season. So, amen. Let's take these requests before the Lord. Father, we approach you because we know that you are God. Hears, answers our prayers. We also know that you are a comforter, Lord, and you're able to succor us in times like this. We have multiple families. Brother Trillick has lost someone very dear to him, and Brother Felix has lost someone very dear to him. The Stowell family, the father, has been called home. Lord, they are in need of your comfort. They are all in need of your strength. The song tells us that your strength is perfect when our strength is gone. You carry us when we can't carry on. We ask that you would, Lord, lift each one, and you would help them, Father, through this time to meet the needs that you would have. Lord, that they, in burying their loved ones, Lord, they have many needs. Pray that you would just meet the financial needs, meet the spiritual needs, meet the emotional needs. Lord, everything that is necessary, we ask that you just undergird it and help them, Father, through this season. If there's someone that does not know you, maybe walked away from your love and grace, may this be an opportunity, Father, that hearts would begin to turn towards you, realizing that we all, if we don't make a rapture, would have to pass this way. So, Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord Jesus, to be light in the midst of somebody's darkness, to be strength, Lord, in their weakness. You, God, would just lead us and guide us in the words that we speak. And Father, I know that there are many others, Lord, in our church that have been just enduring this season. So many, God. We ask for strength for each and every one that you would just help them, Father, through this time. And I pray, God, that you would bless us. Just help us keep our eyes and our hearts on you. We know that you'll give us strength. Lord, you told us in your word that you would turn our mourning into dancing. So, Lord, do exactly what your word says. Watch over us, God, as we leave this place, but not your presence. We thank you for the testimonies that were shared here tonight. And God, just what strength and encouragement. 21% raised. What a blessing. To see that in 1 year. That doesn't happen often, God. You are a supernatural God. You do always do the exceeding, the abundant above all we ask. Thank you for that. Thank you for just all of the year, the good and the bad.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you praise in the midst of it all. Yeah, for the mountains and the valleys.
Hallelujah.
Because you're God in both situations.
Amen.
Lord, we ask that you would just go with us now as we leave this place, but not your presence. Bring us back at the point of time on Sunday as we come, Lord, to hear the word of God speak. God is our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.